We're going to get into the Word today. It comes to us from the Psalm, the 8th Psalm. I know we read this already, but it warrants one more reading. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? You have made them yet a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands and have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beast of the fields, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. May God bless the reading of God's holy word. And would you pray with me? And now, Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are indeed my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. I don't know when the last time was when you felt praise welling up inside of you. Something came seemingly out of nowhere. Whatever it was just happened, took your breath away. Maybe it was getting some unexpected gift. I am going to get together with my children a little bit later today. I went out and bought the gifts ahead of time. I'm just going to give them the receipt and hope for the best. Maybe you've gotten an unexpected gift or been delivered from some danger. You've seen a work of art. You've heard a spectacular piece of music like we did this morning, suddenly realizing God's presence in a way you hadn't before. It might be seeing some natural wonder or discovering what it's like to be in love with somebody. Maybe the joy you feel when someone comes through your door after too long a separation. You've been rolling along and suddenly there you are, you're in the grip of praise. Hadn't been rehearsing for it. Nobody prodded you. You didn't study or plan for it. It just came up in you as naturally as a newborn's cry. Has that ever happened to you? Julie and I were out for a walk the other day, came around the corner, and there it was. I didn't take that one. I got it from the internet. But that's... That's how it looked. It was setting low in the sky. The brightest, most blazing red I could imagine. I found out later it was because of the wildfires burning in Canada, affected our air here in Minnesota. But in that moment, I turned to my neighbor who was out working in his yard. I said, "You got to see this before it's gone. Come here. Come with me." I don't know what David was up to that day, the day he got blindsided by praise. I just know that Psalm 8 was the result. And what he couldn't get over was how a God of such vastness and glory could be mindful of something so small and inconsequential as he was, as you are, as I am. David didn't have a telescope, couldn't have known what we now know, that our galaxy alone is spread over 100,000 light-year expanse, 200 to 400 billion stars, that's just one of billions of galaxies in the universe. I think they made a lot of this up, but it means David would have looked up and he would have seen only 1/1,000th of 1% of the stars in our Milky Way alone. If you were to try and drive across it, the Milky Way being a huge city of stars, let's say, And you were able to drive at the speed of light, which is faster even than my 2007 Camry can go. It would take you 100,000 years to make the trip. It is incomprehensible, the greatness of our Creator and God's creation and the smallness of our stature in that creation, like the Irish fishermen pray, "O God, thy sea is so great and my boat is so small." A couple weeks ago, I was asked to speak at a reception at Bethel University. Stop me if I told you this one. That's going to become a kind of a regular part of my life. Stop me if I told you this one. I'm getting to that age. The occasion was to announce this year's recipients of the Healy Poetry Prize, awarded in honor of my father, who spent his career teaching English at Bethel. I was honored on behalf of our family to make the presentation this year. It was my turn. It's an event we established since my dad died to recognize his love of poetry and to encourage the writing of it. I chose in my remarks to tell about a commencement speech, one given by Billy Collins, the former poet laureate of the United States, in which he told the graduates of the Barcelona Poetry Prize, also given annually, where third prize is a sterling silver rose, second prize is a solid gold rose, and first prize is a real rose. The poets among us get that. Get the fact that there's a beauty in God's creative genius that takes our breath away, takes it away like nothing made by human hands can. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Psalm 8 serves as a reminder that there's a way in which the life we live defies explanation, reminds us that the answers to our questions we were once satisfied with, what we thought we understood yesterday, can fall apart when today's trouble comes. Because reason fails us, science fails us, our ability to figure things out only takes us so far. Wisdom and understanding come when the Spirit of God reveals what we need to our hearts and not just our heads. Verse 4 asks, "Who are human beings that you are mindful of them?" It's a question the rest of the psalm doesn't even try to answer, because the question itself is the answer. It's as if David is bewildered and stunned by what he experiences in God's beauty, experiences in God's love for and trust in us. I mean, seriously, who are we that God is so good to us? To trust the likes of you and me to be stewards of what God created. Really? Knowing the smallness of our minds? Knowing our propensity to get rather than to give? Why does God choose to keep loving us? Do we really need an answer, or is it enough simply to respond by saying, "Thank you"? Oh, wow! See, for most of us, our lives are driven by the quest to find solutions, right? We think if we can just make a little more money, that will take care of whatever ails us. If we can just get our kids into the right schools, no matter how much money we have to slide under the table, you know, then maybe they'll be content 50 years from now. If we can just do this, then that will be fixed, but the amount of this and that just keeps growing, always answers we haven't considered, questions we forgot to ask, but a life built around answers is one propelled by anxiety. Either we live in disappointment that yesterday's answers don't work anymore, or we live on guard trying to ward off uncertainty, but the psalmist tells us and calls us to live not in anxiety, but in wonder. I mean, what if wonder became more important than solutions? What if instead of trying to solidify our formulas for who God is, what if instead we sang, "Holy, holy, holy"? Would our families and churches and nations fight less and praise more? Psalm 8 tells us that living in wonder doesn't mean living without purpose. No, God has made us in God's very own image, given us a sacred purpose to care for the world God has created. And when we begin with wonder, with praise, with, "Oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth," then our role within and alongside the sovereign God to rule becomes clear. I don't know if that sounds too fuzzy for you, or ethereal, or liminal, or other words I had to look up. If you're like me and you like to have things figured out, to know where you are and where you're going and when you're going to get there, if you live your life by GPS, then living in wonder can seem impossible. Earlier this week, I had the privilege of presiding at the homegoing service of Palmer Peterson, a beloved member of this congregation for over 60 years. And later that afternoon at the graveside service, I read, as I always do at the graveside, the words of 1 Corinthians 15, the part where the Apostle Paul says, "Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written is fulfilled: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? For the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then this: "Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the work of the Lord your labor is not in vain." That's it, right there. We live in wonder and with mystery and blindsided by God's goodness to us, but always with a purpose, always with a purpose. Amen. 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 Would you pray with me? Gracious God, there really aren't words sometimes. There's just you. Thank you for choosing to reveal yourself to us. Thank you that that revelation extended to sending to us yourself in the person of your only begotten Son. That your love for us is without condition. That your love for us is, even though we're too small for the task at hand, you keep loving us into being. We thank you that we can stop for a moment and just acknowledge that that's true. In the precious name of Jesus, whom we love. Amen.